Rana here, reminding everyone that Naomi Ekperigin's fabulous special for Netflix is coming out December 29th. So mark your calendars, put it in iCal, put a reminder, do what you need to do. Friend of the show, an occasional frenemy of Brian. That's December 29th. The special is called The Stand-Ups. And Naomi does a fabulous half-hour set. Of course she does. What else would she do? Set your reminders now, and we'll be reminding you. Pardon me. So proud of her. Kiss, kiss.
So I will record this. As Jean Dujardin would say, with pleasure. That was the last line of The Artist. The only
with
line.
With pleasure.
With pleasure.
Yeah. I never saw The Artist.
Okay,
we
Rana.
Can just start this week like that. Why don't we?
Rana just told me she's never seen The Artist. The Jean Dujardin.
Well, I just Dujardin. Told them
too. Well, fine, but you told me.
Well, I was telling you specifically, but they heard.
With Jean Dujardin and Berenice Bernay,
mm-hmm.
or whatever her name is.
Oh, and well, whatever you do, don't mispronounce anything, because we got a litany from someone.
Oh, that's
talking
right.
Talking about what we mispronounced on Ronica. They were upset I said Ime instead of Imez.
I am quite shocked you did not say Hermes, honestly, Rona. I mean, because you know it so well.
Well, yes, and I say EMS all the time, but who is he to correct me during Ronica? That is my You're question.
Right. You're right. Was this Gojo, by the way?
No, of course not. Okay. Gojo won't stop DMing me pictures of EMS gyms.
I saw that with the weights.
Yeah. So I don't know when the EMS gym is coming to Boston, but I hope it's coming soon.
Oh, it's an exhibit?
Or do I have to go to Paris to see it? Paris.
To go see, it's the EMS built a gym that's all orange. Well, you know, their color palette or whatever.
Yeah.
And, oh, also Gojo, thank you for the absolutely extraordinary Google Doc you put together. I think he thinks I'm smarter than I am though, Rana.
For Rome? Well, he sent it to you 2 months ago.
I didn't even know that. But then he put it in a Google Doc like a week ago to make it easier for me. Because this is what people need to understand. When they're doing me a favor, make it easy. Make it easy.
Yeah, make it easy.
Just make it easy.
Which is why Postmates is our new sponsor. Make it easy.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
That's right. They better goddamn have it in Rome.
What were you going to say about Jean Dujardin?
Oh, nothing. Just that he ends, the only line in that movie is at the end, and he goes, with pleasure. And also just, I hope he's still working a lot in France, because that was one legit sexy dude.
Oh, I think he must be working in France.
I'm sure he is all the time. He's so sexy. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I didn't see The Artist.
I can't believe it, Rana. I got to tell, this is what I will tell you about The Artist. It's not It's not like it was one of my favorite movies ever, but it was really cool seeing a silent movie in a theater, packed, because everyone's just quiet.
And that was a wonderful experience.
But when the jokes happen, you're laughing, even though nothing, it was really bizarre. It was fun.
Except I don't enjoy silent disco. I'm not in, that would never be me.
Well, Rana, this wasn't a silent disco.
But the same, you know, people.
So you're lucky if you have the video version, because Rana was just a silent movie marionette doll. she was doing a lonely goat herd impression.
That was my Fritz Lang impersonation.
That's right.
I should have been a Fritz Lang leading lady.
You could. How fabulous is that woman in Metropolis? For real.
How expressionist are my eyeballs? That's the question we have
they
to ask
really
ourselves.
Good. I love every single thing that happened. By the way, I did see a movie that is on my top 10 list of maybe movies ever this week.
What was it?
The Power of the Dog.
Oh, the new Jane Campion.
It's unbelievable.
Really?
It is so.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's a slow pace.
Yeah.
But it's 2 hours, so it's not crazy.
Well, I wouldn't expect a fast pace from Jane Campion.
the performances are so good and yeah. just luxuriate in every frame of how she shoots Montana.
How
is it?
She shoots New Zealand for Montana.
Did she shoot in New Zealand?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know she's from there, but I didn't know. This movie is gorgeous and also haunting.
How's Benedict Cumberbatch?
This is what
because
I'm going to say.
He's a little bit, I feel that he's a little bit of a classy choice for whatever this character is.
I would say I believed him 70%
managed,
of the time.
Shall I say?
I would say I believed him 70% of the time. It's very much, he's doing a Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood, who, by the way, I also didn't fully believe in that role because it was just too crazy.
Mm.
But I enjoyed Benedict Cumberbatch's performance very much. And the movie is just unlike anything I've ever seen.
You're really putting it in your top 10 favorite films.
I'll tell you this.
Not just of the year.
I'll tell you, well, definitely of the year, but maybe I'll tell you this. I watched it at home in the carriage mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. And the next day I went to the theater to see it because
wow.
I was just like, I want the magnitude of this movie. And it's one of those movies you watch all the way through and you're like, oh, I want to rewatch it to get every detail.
Yeah.
Of this, to see how exactly she put this together to get to where we got.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's very good.
And that's it about Jean Dujardin, nothing else?
I've talked about foreign movies for long enough, Rana. I can't. No. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you win the Oscar and that's it, you failed.
I have two things I want to say.
Go ahead.
Number one is
yeah.
Five stars only.
Are we still at a 4.9?
You know, whoever took us to a 4.9,
you should be.
I want someone to dox them and I want to know their home address because I'm going to go right over there and knock on their door and ask them what they were expecting.
Yep.
And what they got.
That's right.
And then I'm going to start rating. I'm going to find out what they do and I'm going to start rating all of it.
Oh, I'll tell you this, whatever they do,
they have nothing,
and they absolutely have invited Omicron into their house, without a doubt.
Omicron, yeah.
Whatever. I say Omicron.
There isn't a person that says it correctly.
Because it's too, I want to say Omnicron, Omnicron.
I want to call Omicron. It Omnicron. That's what I want to call it.
So it's Omicron.
I believe it is Omicron.
No, I think you're right. Okay.
You know what? Why are we discussing it? Our friend who wrote in is going to tell us exactly how to pronounce it. So I hope he's penning. I hope he's furiously tip-tapping on his phone right now to correct us. So please.
I'm so scared my trip to Rome's going to get canceled, Rana. I'm so scared.
I think you're going to be okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, but don't worry.
You have good travel insurance, right?
If it gets canceled, we'll just record 900 more episodes of the podcast and it'll be just like going on vacation. How does that sound?
Terrific. I guess there are worse places to get stuck if they change the rules.
Some ragu spaghetti sauce over to your house.
You know, that's the problem over there. They don't have stuff like that.
Ragu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that I eat Rao's marinara sauce with a spoon out of the jar over my sink, right? Cold.
I did not. And is it sensitive formula or regular formula that you're eating?
Oh, I don't know. Do they have a sensitive marinara sauce?
Yeah, for people that are gluten-free or this or that.
I didn't know that. No, yeah. I love my regular.
Do you put it on vegetables or anything like
no,
that?
No, I literally eat it with a spoon out of the jar. I don't even heat it up.
Cold pizza sauce.
Yeah, because I mean, also like, you know, I'm on a limited time and, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, is it giving you the energy you need to get through the day?
No, Rana, but
packed
I don't have
protein.
Time. I don't have
protein and nightshades.
Tomatoes and bread.
Just nightshade juice. That's all you're drinking while you stand over you.
You know it better than V8, probably.
Probably just about the same.
Actually,
no, V8 has other vegetables in it, not just tomatoes. Here's what I want to say. In the carriage house at the moment, I haven't talked about the carriage house, the Patreon carriage house in a while.
Yeah. Well, it's very exclusive over there, and we kind of try to keep it to ourselves a little bit.
Very exclusive. It's very intimate, I have to say.
It is very intimate.
The level of discourse and the level of interaction that's going on right now is at an all-time high.
Regarding which?
People are writing exciting questions. People are following up with those questions.
Yeah.
People are posting their opinions on those questions.
We don't know if Kate Steinberg's gonna do a coup. We don't know that yet.
Debates. Agent wrote to me. He said he agrees he's too unstable for leadership.
Did Gojo write you back?
No.
Did he comment on it, or he just knew? He implicitly knew.
I'm just saying, there is so much going on. So if you're looking for a little bit of fun and you want to get into it with other Ask Rana fans, the Carriage House is the place to be.
That's the place.
Because even I am impressed by the level of direct communication that we're getting from our fans and direct feedback. And I'm really enjoying
that's
it.
That's everything, though. That's
it's
what you
smart,
want
it's sassy,
in a Patreon.
It's opinionated.
That's right.
But it's respectful at the same time.
For sure.
It's fun.
They,
it's fun.
By the way, because it's also a really smart group of people who have strong opinions on things, which I love.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun.
I wanted to call the Carriage House La Perla because that's how intimate it is.
La Perla. Oh, La Perla. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's read a couple of comments and then let's, you know.
Rana, can
this.
I ask you a
we
question?
We have a terrific guest today, by the way, who happens to be a dear friend of mine.
I know. I can't wait to see him. Can I ask you a question?
I hope so.
It's only a little gross. Not Shart level. Just a little different.
People couldn't get over that. People could not get over that. I
well,
mean,
Rana, because of the way you
and
said
Michaela
it.
And Michaela and I knew and you didn't know. And then, I mean, you know.
You, I have to say, I'm going to say, you always know. Over the bowl. Over the bowl. Stephanie texted me that. She kept texting me that. She was laughing out loud.
Well, Stephanie's probably been over the bowl.
No doubt about it.
Based on her cake dessert choices.
Her sandy also. Cakes. Yeah. Isn't that what you said it was, Sandy?
I said it was a sandy mixture.
Sandy mixture.
Sandy cakes, not Susie cakes, yeah.
Rana, do you say intimates?
Intimate.
Underwear.
Or intimate?
Do you say intimate or intimate? Do you say intimates?
Yeah.
Underwear.
Yeah.
Or panties.
Or lingerie.
Or lingerie. Jean Dujardin.
I say underwear.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I say underwear is fun to wear.
My mom, growing up, she always used to tell us, because you know, she grew up in a house with only girls. She used to tell us when we were young, if it was cold outside, she'd go, boys, go get your shawls. She'd say that.
And then she was mad at you when you were gay.
And exactly, because she would also say, come on, when we were little, like, come on, put on your panties. We got to run. That's what she would say. And we would be like, underwear.
That's very funny.
Yeah, so.
All right, we have a few comments here.
We do, we do.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for them, Rana?
Yeah.
Here we go. JKHLMNN. These two are the best, all caps. I've just discovered this dynamic duo, and I couldn't be more infatuated. Rana is delightful and insightful. I love listening to Brian's quick wit. As much as I wish I had discovered, do you think that Oscar Wilde would be offended that someone said I had wit after I talk about panties and shorts?
No.
Oh, okay, good. As much as
he,
I wish...
He was a real, you know, he liked to... He liked
dirty.
Yeah, he liked to roll around in the gutter.
He did.
Yeah.
As much as I wish I discovered this earlier, I'm happy to have many episodes ahead. Emmy 1-1, I'm over the bowl. Now that I know R&B's thoughts on loud versus soft sneezers, I couldn't be more delighted. And Evie...
Though we did have that letter from a reformed loud sneezer.
Reformed. Yeah. First reformed.
And then, pardon me, we also got a comment from someone on Instagram. Who is a voice coach of some kind or a speech pathologist who said loud sneezing is completely unnecessary. The reason people loud sneeze is because they incorporate a vocal sound when they sneeze and that it's not necessary. That it can be unlearned.
I think you and I had it correct. I think people do it for attention sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah.
My father was the loudest sneezer there ever was.
Yep.
Yeah. And he even used to sometimes incorporate a heart attack motion into it.
My God.
So that he would have the sneeze and then he would back up 3 or 4 steps.
I know what you're talking about.
to catch
like he was going to faint or something.
Yeah.
We have one more comment here from Evie H, 5 stars only. By the way, I do want to say all these people did leave 5 stars. So thank you. Thank you for your gorgeous podcast. Excuse me. I'm a therapist and people come into my office every day and tell me about the horrible and traumatic things that have happened to them. Sometimes at the end of the day, I get very close to tearing up, but then I get into my car and put on your podcast and I feel happy again. Hmm. I tend to be very passionate about your podcast and often add my commentary and advice out loud along with you when I'm listening. If you ever decide to have a non-famous but qualified guest one day, I would love to be considered. Of course, I'd be happy to provide my resume and tell you all about my professional qualifications. In any event, I can't wait for your new Hulu mystery show, Mrs. Glickman and Lady Brian.
That's the one. This person is automatically disqualified.
By the way, the problem is I would have said, send me your resume. Rana, just because you said that is absolutely not interested. She doesn't like people who are craven. She doesn't.
It's not just that. It's that they said to us over Apple, if you'd like me to send my resume, how do we know who you are?
Yeah.
The only way we can communicate with you is through the podcast.
That's true.
There's no way to write back to a comment on Apple. And if that person isn't with it enough to know that.
This is what I want to say. Just because you compliment us doesn't mean you're out of the woods.
Everyone knows that. Yeah.
They do. Everyone
now, I
does.
Say this all the time and I mean it.
Yeah.
And I mean it today and I mean it every episode. If you write Good to us. Rana.
Yeah.
You have asked us to respond to your query.
You have signed the release.
You have said, let me have it.
That's true.
And you don't know which way that's going to break.
Oh,
that's going to break in your favor or it isn't. I don't know. But
there's
you
at
have
least one letter to today. There's at least one letter today that I think we're going to let them have it a little bit, but we'll see.
Oh, I hope so. I'm going to let them have it. Move.
Remember, if you review us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get them, it really helps the show. So just please do it.
It really does help the show.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of the surefire things that helps us grow. Yeah.
If you love the show, go. And also, you can rate it 900 million times. Don't say I did it once.
Yeah, you don't even have to write a review. Just click the 5 stars. It's the easiest thing in the world.
You know what? I can't believe I didn't ask for this before. Get in there and fix my rating. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. Just keep eating 5 until
Absolutely.
I go up to 5.
Absolutely.
Because 4, 9, what am I, an Uber driver on 4, 9?
You're right.
What did I forget? Mints in the backseat?
Yeah, come on.
Give it a rest.
Yeah, give it a rest.
Yeah.
We're not lifesavers. We're, you know, mints.
We're lifesavers, spearmint, which if you crunch them in the moonlight, they glow in the dark.
Is that the kind Lisa Barlow stole from Jen Shaw in the van?
I bet, but I don't know anything about that.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get to our fabulous guest.
So wait a second. Are you telling me Lisa Barlow said, well, I know Jen Shaw's a thief because she stole my life savings?
The other way around. So Jen Shaw, when she was removed from the van, I got to say that episode was riveting.
No, I can't wait. But you know, she was very busy.
Removed from the van, when she left the van, Jen left her snacks on the like pass van for the trip they were going to take to Vail. And so like, after they find out what's going on with Jen and they read the headline, Lisa picks up Jen's snacks and it's like, I wonder what she has in here. And she gets the Lifesaver spearmint. She goes, oh, I don't mind these, and just opens them. And Heather's like, are we actually doing this right now? And Lisa was like, yeah. So what was that?
That sounds like Lisa Barlow to me.
Yeah, she's a terrible person for sure. So and I can't get over. There is a clip of her online. Literally, she's just saying 3 words, and I can't get over how obnoxious, but also I just can't stop watching it. She's looking at a camera, and she goes, hi, beauty gorgeous. I can't get enough of it.
And she says it over and over. It's a meme?
Yes. Hi, beauty gorgeous. I love her. She's outrageous. Yeah.
What about when she has a meeting at the office and orders big gulps for everybody? That's how generous she is.
And she says that her favorite meal is Del Taco. Yeah. But that's
we
Salt
have
Lake,
a guest
you know?
Today whose favorite guest isn't Del Taco. I don't think.
No.
We're going to find out. I just decided this whole episode is sponsored by Postmates. So when he comes, I'm going to ask him what his favorite thing to Postmate is.
I think he'll appreciate that.
How does that sound?
Let's do
this
it.
Guy is beyond
like a real
talent.
Actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he had 2 minutes for us is an absolute miracle.
Yeah, he's on like major things.
And people, well, we should say this to his face, but people loved him on Ozark. Did they love him on Ozark?
Couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
Couldn't get
enough. Without further ado, Jason Butler Hanna.
Love it.
Tacos.
Yeah.
Chinese food.
Yes.
Pizza.
Love it.
Dim sum.
How many more foods can you name, Rana?
That was all I could think of. Let's eat pasta.
Yeah. Indian food.
Indian. Delicious.
Delicious.
Sushi. Of course, sushi. Yeah.
Mediterranean. Lebanese.
Well, okay. Israeli, too.
Israeli, Syrian, too.
Yeah, it's Syrian.
There's always a fight about who started that.
But yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you know, a snake eating its own tail.
For sure.
But I'll tell you what none of them started.
Tell me, Rana.
Is Postmates.
Which I use probably 3 times a week, by the way.
Minimum. There isn't a night I don't see someone coming to the carriage house to bring you something delicious from our local restaurants in our local area.
Well, I get that local place has that delicious kale Caesar salad, but then the other place has the really thick cut doughy cookies. So I do both.
My God, you're eating cookies in there? And you haven't,
well, yeah, but with the kale
and you
salad.
Haven't invited me in my pajamas. What's going on?
Because I'm a little bit ashamed of how many times I'm ordering from them. I'm not even kidding. I order from them all the time.
But it's so easy. That's the whole thing with Postmates. Postmates sells itself. I don't have to tell people about
it's
Postmates.
It's so true. It's just the easiest thing in the world with every fabulous restaurant you'd ever want straight to your house. Including Walgreens and 7-Eleven, Rana.
And all you have to say is Postmates, and people know exactly what you're talking about. But what they don't know,
yes,
is they are giving for a limited time our listeners. I don't even know what they're doing because this is an. I could have started this advertisement by saying this is the best offer I've seen in a while.
It's a pretty good one for sure.
For a limited time, Postmates is giving just our listeners, pardon me, a little something. New customers will get $20 off their first order of $30 or more.
My God.
When you use the code Rana. You got now that's quick math. Do the quick math on that.
Yeah, that means your $30 order will only be $10.
Rana is the code. That's code Rana to get $20 off your first order of $30 or more. Just download the Postmates app or sign up online. It's super easy. The offer, of course, is subject to change. Taxes, fees applies. It's valid for 30 days after you add the promo code to your account. So promo code Rana. I have no idea what you're waiting for. Brian.
Rana.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're at the end of the year. And you know how my mind's always racing about when's Rana going to pay me back? And, you know, how many bath bombs am I going to get for the holidays this year? And you know what I mean? I constantly just that hamster's constantly running.
Yeah. I know you're on that bath bomb wheel.
I am. And by the way, there was a Judge Judy recently where a parrot started attacking someone's face. And I thought, if my bird ever does that, I mean, you know, the bird's in full effect in the last quarter of the year.
The bird is on your shoulder in the last quarter of the year. There's no question about it.
No question. Not to mention with the stresses of this last year, it's more important than ever to practice living healthier and happier lives, especially when you have thoughts like mine running in endless circles in your head. So what if a few minutes was all it took to change your relationship with stress and anxiety, transforming your life for the better? That's the power of meditation with Headspace. And Rana, I'm not just talking about Headspace. I'm a user.
I know you are, which I think is incredibly impressive. A, that the app exists, and B, that you're using it and finding great success with it.
You can choose how many minutes you want to meditate that day, and you can even choose the category. Like some are like getting over a breakup. Some are just dealing with daily anxiety. I mean, they get very specific. It's really, really nice. And you just feel so much better after a few minutes of doing it because you've really taken that time out for yourself to just calm down. Because Rana, I got to mention to you, our thoughts can be confusing enough. I mean, my thoughts are very confusing. One day, you know, I'm a vegetarian. The next day I am paleo, you know?
Sure. One day it's oat milk. One day it's cream.
Exactly.
Yep.
Our thoughts can be confusing enough. Meditation doesn't have to be. Because I do feel like people are scared of meditation, and it really isn't scary. You just have to do it.
And Headspace is such an easy, accessible,
so simple,
calming, and you see real results.
You really
do. You absolutely do.
Headspace is your convenient dose of meditation, mindfulness, and sleep exercises. I forgot to mention the sleep exercises, but I have those too, to relieve stress and anxiety and help you get a good night's sleep all in one app, making it easy to catch your breath and make time for your mental health. And Rana, I think where you're going with it is that it's science-backed.
That's exactly right. Everything is research-based and science-backed.
I mean, it works.
If you could wake up happier, get your mind ready for the day, and also go to bed happier?
Using Headspace for just 2 weeks can reduce your stress by 14%.
I love the stuff. I mean, that's something.
Honest to goodness. You know, I had an exclusive guest recently. And if you don't think that I spent a few minutes every morning.
A few extra.
I gave myself a few extra.
We've got to get you a guest on Headspace. If she could manage her anxiety, Rana, she wouldn't have to share it with you.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are skeptical. Don't be. It really does work. So please give it a try.
Find some Headspace at headspace.com/askrana and get 1 month free off the entire meditation library.
Wonderful. It's a huge library too.
Yeah. This is the best Headspace offer available. So go to headspace.com/askrana today.
headspace.com/askrana.
Ah, did you hear that?
I love that sound, Rana.
I absolutely love that sound. That is the new Shopify cha-ching.
Love it.
Every time I hear that sound, I get so excited because not only do I know that I'm supporting entrepreneurs and all the fabulous small businesses that use Shopify.
Totally.
I know that I am going to be communicated with in such a way that makes me so happy to be a customer.
Yeah.
That is truly what I love about Shopify.
No kidding.
They keep track of it every step of the way.
Rana. And we're familiar with Shopify even beyond that.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
We use Shopify for our coffee.
We certainly do.
So our customers absolutely know what it means to get a perfect customer service experience in terms of here's the minute you bought it. Here's the minute the package went out. Here's where it is, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there and it's so easy. Transactions are so much easier from the consumer side when you're buying something on Shop. I mean, I breathe a sigh of relief when I know I'm buying something on Shop because all my information's already in there.
It's so easy. Just a one-click pony.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. Okay, so upstarts, startups, established businesses, whatever, can sell everything from everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. That's why, as an entrepreneur myself, Brian.
Sure, yes, you are, Rana.
I know you can relate because you're also an entrepreneur.
Well, I'm also one, so yeah.
I can't recommend Shopify enough for your business. If you're thinking about getting your business online, getting everything organized, giving your customers an incredible start to finish customer service experience, seamless, I'm telling you, Shopify is 100% the service for you. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses, pardon me. I wish I had stock in that company.
Come on.
From first sale to full scale, as they like to say.
Cute.
And they do all kinds of integrations with apps, so you can shop through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, you name it.
All the hits.
They give you all the insights. I'm on Shopify every minute checking out the coffee sales. I can see who bought. I can see where my favorite thing is. You can see where in the country who's visiting your store. Oh, somebody in South Dakota is thinking about buying the coffee.
Amazing.
So go to shopify.com/askrana. That's all lowercase for a free 14-day trial.
Come on, people. Get full
access to Shopify's entire suite of features. For instance, let's say Showstopper Cookies was looking to get on Shopify.
Ah,
this would be the moment.
Yep.
Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/askrana right now. I'm just going to get right into it here.
Okay.
Our guest today.
Oh my God. It's like the real deal.
First of all, well, I don't know what business he has looking so handsome over Zoom.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I mean, I am. I'm not mad about it, but then I'm also mad.
I've seen him in person and he never looked this good to me.
No.
Right?
That's what I'm going to say.
I've been in full Nick Nolte mugshot for a year and a half. So I cut off my hair and gave myself a trim.
You look
so handsome. You look
like Kevin Kline after the makeover in Soap Dish.
Wow. Yeah. Take that, Billy Eichner.
That's
you
right.
Look about 12, you look about 12 and a half years old. That's the other thing.
This is
you look like a little boy with your cute little groomed hair product. I don't know what kind of grooming.
Yeah, your
product
hair looks amazing.
Using.
I'm not
you guys.
Gonna lie.
I have a good head of hair. I have a whole regime. I like Fat Boy. You guys use that? I want these are products that Ron and
who's
he's,
Fat
no
boy?
Great.
What do
I love
about
this is
fat
my
boy.
Jam. So please go through it.
Oh no, please. But if you have 98 steps of some kind of routine,
no,
Brian
I don't.
Wants
I just
to know
think,
about it.
No. It depends on how much. Money I'm making at the time.
Oh, I saw the I saw the funniest tweet. Someone tweeted, "You find out that your boyfriend has been kidnapped. Your fiance has been kidnapped.
Okay,
and you go to the police station and you're trying to find them, and the hunt is on. Something like that. When you get back to the hotel, do you still do your skincare routine?" That was the question.
That's amazing.
I thought that was very funny. And the answer was yes for me.
For me too.
No question. I got nothing but time on my hands waiting
that is an
phone
amazing
to ring
question,
for the FBI to call. Yeah, I wish I could remember who said it. It was very funny.
Last night I saw a series of dad jokes on Facebook from friends of mine. How do you keep your bagel? My bagel didn't get, how do you keep your bagel from getting stolen?
You eat it.
You cover it in lox. How about this? And then my friend who's a goy, he wrote, I brought a German cake, but I wanted to bring a German cake. But it was gone. Apparently, it was stolen. Have you ever had stolen?
Yeah.
Not only have I had stolen, I fucking love it.
Do you? What do you like about stolen?
The one from Zingerman's I like. I don't like all stolen.
Uh-huh. I don't like all stolen either.
It has stolen my heart because the way they do it there is buttery and layered. And the fruits are soaked in brandy. And it has a gorgeous icing on top. And
I'm calling stolen. Paul Hollywood right now and be like, hey, next season on Great British Bake Off.
They make a stolen.
Oh, they already did it?
Okay. They have a holiday series out right now, and they make a stolen in it, yeah.
I thought stolen was very dry, generally.
That was my experience.
It is. It is like a dry-ish bread, but that's why people sometimes make French toast with it and stuff, but you just toast it with a little bit of butter, and it's unbelievable.
Well, Panettone are in the same family.
Too. Right. Panettone's a little fluffier, but yeah, it's the same family, but I will
that's
say—
That's what they made. They made a panettone on Great British— First of all, on that holiday Great British Bake Off, no offense to any of them.
Oh, they did
but
make
that
a
was
stolen,
the most,
you're right.
That was the most random group. Who
it
were
was
those?
Very random.
That one guy who's like kind of hot and but like bad.
Jamie.
Yeah. I was with Mickey and I was like.
Also, it's weird that they made a Christmas pudding at the end, but the only restriction was they had to make it in the microwave. Wasn't that it?
Okay.
That
you
was
know what?
Very
I'm
odd.
Getting
okay.
bored to death. Here's, if you guys want to go have some kind of a convention,
we're going to have a hair product.
I can't say what kind
lunch.
Because I'll get canceled off my own show if I say what kind of convention that you're having.
A fruit convention, Rana?
A dried brandy soaked fruit convention is what I was going to say.
Okay.
A holiday fruit.
We've totally glossed over the fact that Jason Butler-Hanna is sitting in front of a happy Hanukkah balloon.
We have.
Because he's been celebrating his anniversary.
Yeah.
To his husband, who is none other than Carriage House Whack Pack member, Mickey Rapkin.
Who has been on the show.
Of course.
We had him talk about Hollywood Wives with us.
Why do you think I'm in the guest room as opposed to the living room? I wanted to have a different look for you.
We didn't want people to get bored here. That Hanukkah balloon's really lasting. It's got a lot of helium in it, I suppose.
Here's the thing. I went to Albertsons this morning and
was it 50% off?
I made it. I was going to buy them. You know, these are pricey at Albertsons.
Yeah, they are. Those are nice balloons.
Since they got the renovation, they really upped the price.
They
said, hey, Hanukkah's over. And that was news to the person there, of course. And so I got I got both of these for $5.99. And then I came out to Mickey swinging them, and he appreciated the bargain.
Don't tell Rana. Don't tell Rana. But I, Rana, don't listen. But I got her a gift card from there for a vanilla Visa $50 gift card.
Oh.
You can just use it like a credit card.
Vanilla Visa? What does this mean? And what is an Albertsons?
Albertsons?
It's a grocery store.
It's a grocery store.
Oh,
it used to be the kind of janky grocery store of Los Angeles. By the way, Los Angeles is acting in for San Francisco this last week and a half.
Is it but foggy? You know
what? Yes, Lana, but what I saw online is that at least the smog sort of cleared. Is that true?
It's kind of not.
How can you tell?
Yeah. If you can tell from the dirt
marine layer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you wearing black nail polish?
I knew I didn't have time. I slammed, this is the dumbest thing, I slammed my fingers in the window putting a skeleton on the roof for the Halloween kids, and they got all purple.
Wait,
and then everybody was looking at them, and I recently was like, I'm going to do something. So I painted them blue, and now everyone's
I'm
going like,
to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you
and
something right
I'm
now,
tell
Jason.
Tell both of you that I'm going home.
Fine, but no, I'm going to tell Jason this right now. That excuse for why that happened to your fingers might fly here, but it's not going to fly at the fruit convention. It's people will see right through it.
It's the truth.
It's just two fingers. My question is, why are you such a slow healer? Is there something going on with your circulation?
No, apparently it can take like a year or something to grow out. This is the first thing it's the first time I did an Instagram poll because it looked like there were flies.
What was the poll? Who won?
I was like, what should I do? And then people were like, paint them all to look like the bruises, start a trend. And I was like, I can't do that.
You need to unfollow all those people.
Here's the thing.
Get them to unfollow.
I like that look.
I just did this 3 days ago. I'm not giving you the bird. But this one's already scratched. So clearly I'm not up for this. I can't do that kind of maintenance. I have enough ear hair things that I have
to
worry
about. Well, speaking
of
which, give us your hair routine, fat boy.
Yes, what is fat?
All it is no, first of all, I have a great haircut. The only thing that I know is that my hair as I've gotten older has gotten like kind of coarser. And so I have to change it. You have to change up what you use. So there was a guy who, and also when you work on different sets, every hair person has like a friend who has a new line.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I try, and I don't know why it's a given that when you go do a job, if it's going to be a big job, they give you hair products. And sometimes they're like not great, and sometimes they are great. So I had a hair product from this guy in New York. It's called Fat Boy.
Okay.
And they have a good one. And then sometimes I use the Malin and Get Sage Cream, not the gel. I can't do crispy because for years of being on sets, what happens is sometimes they overproduct, especially if you're like a guest star or a co-star, they overproduct. And I just turned into Darren from Bewitched without meaning to. And they're afraid of
you get shellacked.
Messing it up.
Yeah. And then also, then the other thing is on men, the makeup, they just put so much on. So you just look like you're in Mannequin 3 and you go and you put the paper towel on and you are the Shroud of David happens. You know what I mean? What do you do?
The
do you ever ask them for a
Shroud
makeup?
Of Turin.
It's Turin.
It's the Sorry, Shroud of Turin.
Right. You're right. Sorry.
Well,
I'm not a good Christian.
Says you weren't. Yeah.
So that was it. Fat Boy and Melon and Get Sage Grooming Cream.
You know, in a pinch. And then sometimes because Kevin Murphy, I also use that Murphy stuff, but that is an arm and a leg. I've really, in the pandemic, I didn't buy clothes or anything. I bought random hair products.
I think a lot of people did. Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. That's the lipstick index.
Oh.
When people don't want to spend a lot of money on something. And because they don't have a lot of money, but they want to feel that something is luxurious, they always buy a lipstick or a hair product or this or that, which is, you know, why all of our Ronica picks this year, almost all of them were under $100, 100-ish.
$100.
Do you think that's tangential to smoking in that, like, obviously we know smoking is unhealthy, but do you think that it's like this is my private moment, this thing that I have for myself,
for sure,
regardless of what money you have or don't have.
And yes.
I saw a guy smoking outside in LA, which was so strange the other day. And I was like, why is that guy, what is it?
By the way, people in LA are breathing in the worst kinds of everything all day anyway. Smoking really is just an extension of that, which is too bad. But can we talk about Ozark?
Yeah,
can we talk about Scandal? Can we talk about Ray Donovan? Can we talk about the theater?
Only if we talk about all these things for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Because we have got to get to this advice.
We do. I just wanted everyone to know what this is like an actual actor. This isn't
well,
someone.
We were talking
everyone's
about
like,
Jason.
Who is
before
that guy?
Before, not for a minute.
No, we talked about
that.
You in the intro.
Excuse me. We were talking about Jason before he got here and saying how people absolutely murdered themselves over you on Ozark.
Couldn't
There's
get
no
enough.
Question. And that you're the guy that people see in everything and they say, I love that guy.
Yep.
That's nice. That makes me happy. Sorry,
that balloon, you should put the balloon back. It was giving you a nice light bounce.
That's what I need too. you know, I have been lucky. I started in the theater and I like.
You started in DC theater, right?
I'm from Virginia. Well, I'm from upstate New York, but I was raised in Virginia, so I started going to Arena Stage as a kid.
Yeah, of course. I did a season of the Shakespeare Theater in D.C. right after college.
Wow. Right now, where they're doing the new Britney Spears musical.
There they are? Wow. Is it still Michael Kahn who runs that place?
No, he's gone.
Thank God. Is he really? He was horrible.
Is he gone?
You know, this
now?
Is
sorry, Ronna.
Okay, sorry.
This is a public conversation.
Okay, sorry.
That you two are having right now. I just want you to know.
Sorry.
Anyway, so I like to change it up. And Ozark was a great. I've been dead for a couple of seasons. I love. It's the hardest. The funniest thing about being
but
that guy.
But people find the show new all the time. That's what's great about Netflix.
Oh, I get the tweets and the DMs. Believe me, people hate people hate gay people still, and people
still alive and well.
I didn't know you meant that kind. Yeah.
Yeah, and they hate. They don't like villains, and he's a good, complicated guy. But
what fun!
It was great fun. I really had the best time, and I lived with Laura Linney and I are friends, and so we got to live together while we were shooting. So that was like really, really, really.
I want to know every one of her secrets, and then I want to know when she's coming on the podcast to dispute them,
and if she's going to be in just like that.
I know who dies, and I know what happens in season 4 that comes out in January. But I'm not
well. Maybe you're going to get the DMs about that. Did you say Laura Linney's in Just Like That? She's taking over the.
Oh no, I was asking if she might be in.
Oh, I wish.
That she's taking over the Kim Cattrall pot.
Right. Very similar types, though, still.
Although, for holiday time, speaking of, listen, I know this might be controversial. I like Love Actually. I'm not going to be afraid of it. And and people really hate that movie, but I really love it.
Who hates Love Actually?
Who hates that movie?
People give me a hard time about it.
I watch it every year.
Totally.
I agree.
Because it's sentimental. Who cares?
And
it's great.
I have to say, I find the opening and the close of that film perfect.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I completely understand that moment of being at the airport and what that used to feel like when your loved ones would come find you and collect you at the airport. There's nothing more moving.
That was also the first movie after 9/11, which dealt with airports and people getting together in a way. It was a shocking moment, as I recall, because I was
That's
like,
a terrific
it's
film.
So good. Yeah. But Laura Linney's breasts in that movie and her sex appeal with that really sexy guy. Remember?
Rodrigo Santoro.
Oh, nice.
That's the one.
Also, I want to say, I think there needs to be a rewrite. Like, I think she needs to not answer that phone call from my darling, her brother.
Well,
I think she needs to go be with Rodrigo Santoro.
Everyone feels that way. That's the tragedy of it.
Airplane mode.
Okay, can we please do our show now if you two are done? Can I do my show? Would that be too much to ask of you two?
Not at all, Ron. It's just enough to
We
ask.
Have a 98-page letter here that we have to get to.
Wow.
And I'm already in a snit, so you two are going to have to answer first. So I'm going to read it.
Whoa, you are?
Wow.
You want to read it? All right, you read it.
No, that's...
Go ahead.
I'm just
Let's
always
go.
Surprised when Ronna wants to read the long ones.
Well, okay, then you read it.
I don't need to read it.
Go. I'm not reading anything anymore.
She's been talking to Steve too much, and she needs full sentences.
That's true.
Who are you to suggest that Steve doesn't speak in full sentences?
Good point.
You may not understand what she's saying, but I do.
I do too, Ronna.
Steve, come on. She's magnificent,
I have
to tell you.
She's absolutely
beautiful. She's a magnificent beast. Incredible.
She is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is.
Okay.
She's wonderful. Okay. Hello, Ronna Bryant. Exactly. And wise guest. In this case, Jason Butler Horner.
Correct.
Please don't use my name. Okay. I am having a dilemma regarding some very old friendships and could use some advice.
Okay.
I'm a female in my late 40s and have a
What? Okay. No. Go
Are you
on.
Disgusted, Rana?
No, but
she's very upset.
I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I was skimming these letters earlier. Rana, to I'll be honest with you. What the I content was, too, was gonna be.
I am also surprised.
And I only read the PS. I skimmed this and I read the PS and I thought, ba 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 PS. Oh
now,
boy.
Now
this
I want to know.
Doozy.
I am also surprised.
Well, you're about to know, but when I read the PS, I thought this letter was from someone who was 22 and a half. So
I did too.
Let's go. Okay. Now I'm engaged.
Me too. That's why I sort of tried to emphasize that. I am a female in my late 40s and have a group of old friends I have known since high school. They are the kind of great friends that mean late nights of laughing, hugging, and vows of forever sisterhood when we get together. However, despite this being true,
I'm always suspicious of sisterhood. I will say that.
Well, it's also to keep talking about forever sisterhood like 30 years after you met.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
It seems like it's working. Yeah.
Total non sequitur. Huma Abedin had her book come out.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know she wrote a book.
Nor did I. Maybe it came out a while ago. I saw that Chelsea Devantes was posting about it, who I love and who we have to have on. She's terrific.
Does she talk about Weenie?
She does a celebrity. She does. She does a celebrity biography book club or whatever it is.
Oh, that's fun.
And she, in her Instagram, does quotes from these things. But that Huma Abedin book looks like a dirt factory. And she had a quote about James Comey that was so damning.
Oh, I mean, she's just like spilling it all.
Oh, she let it all, let everybody know just what she thought. And it made me, I mean, it looks good. It made me want to book a vacation.
You know, Brian Cox did the same thing with his book. He just spilt it all about what he thought about everybody.
God bless them.
Fantastic.
All right, go on.
Okay, here we go.
Sisterhood, when we get together.
Yes. However, despite this being true, I have ended up a bit on the outside over the years. Mm. When we graduated, I was the only one to head off to university while they all stayed in the area and spent that time bonding at parties, etc., and adding a few new members to the group.
Canadian.
We have a group. Why?
This person's Canadian. They're not English. I'm just telling you that.
Okay.
Well, we have, maybe not a university, but isn't that interesting? Anyway, go on.
We have a group chat thread that seems to be filled with pictures of activities that they all enjoy together that I was not invited to. Ooh. I recognize that this is expected when new people are added that don't know me well as my original friends did. And I try to tell myself it's no big deal, but it still stings a little. I was married when I was in my late 20s and invited them all to my wedding. None of them came to the wedding.
Whoa.
Or called. Or sent a gift, or sent a card congratulating me on my big day. What a sisterhood.
Leave the thread. Honest Why are you still God. On this thread?
Honestly, Jason,
we need,
you're on the right
we
track
need,
here.
We need all the information.
Okay, okay. You're right. Okay. You're right, Rana. There was one friend in particular that I would say is
Mrs. Glickman. This is how we started. Was this what we started talking about? How I was a teacher? No, that was something else. Go
oh,
on.
Yeah, yeah. You're the teacher. There was one, I said you would teach social studies. There was one friend in particular that I would say is generally at the center of the friend circle and is the one I have always been closest to.
Oh.
I will call her Sarah. When I returned from my honeymoon and had no messages as to why everyone missed my big day, I called Sarah. I told her that it hurt my feelings that she wasn't there to see me in my dress and celebrate with me, to which she just acted annoyed that I was confronting her and said she ended up having to work late.
Just quick side note, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
She said
right.
She's married.
She's in her late 40s.
Married in her late 20s, and this was, and she's in her late 40s. Keep going.
Fast forward to last fall. First marriage had ended after 13 years. I want to say that's still a success. Okay. And I had been dating a guy for 3.5 years that had made some mistakes in our relationship and cheated in the beginning. We will call him Jake. I only saw my friends a few times a year, but I always called Sarah upset when the issues with my then boyfriend arose, which I now regret. Okay. They really didn't know him currently, but some of them knew him from parties in high school. Oh. You went back to high school for this guy? And they shared stories of his behavior from our early years. Almost 3 years ago, he got sober. And since then, okay, there had been no evidence of cheating or otherwise bad behavior.
Okay.
I was happier with him than I had ever been in my entire life. He was supportive, fun, and kind. We ended up getting engaged. I wanted the wedding to be a very small... A do-over of the wedding. I wanted the wedding to be a very small and informal occasion, so I planned it 2 weeks out, which I felt was a short enough time to keep the expectation of how informal it would be while still giving me some time for planning.
Well, okay. This is, I mean, oh, this yeah. letter was written from an insane asylum.
Everyone...
I don't understand. Can I just say, how come people don't ever really get the memo about brevity is the soul of wit in general, but also on
not
this,
on this show.
Okay,
not
very on good. Show. Okay.
Everyone's because trying to be Cynthia DeFries.
This woman, in fairness to her, she has something she needs to get off her chest, and it's been bothering her for 20 years. And for whatever reason, she has decided this is the place. So let's keep going here. But okay. I will also say, no matter what comes next, don't give me 2 weeks notice for anything and then wonder why I can or cannot come and then judge my commitment to you based on the fact that I had a mammogram scheduled for 6 months ahead of time on the day you decided to get married 2 months in advance, 2 weeks in advance.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Okay, everyone invited lived in the area. I sent a message on our friend group chat informing everyone that I was engaged and giving them the details.
Lunatic. Mm.
I got one thumbs up emoji back.
Oof.
That's it. After a few days, Sarah called me. One of the new members of our friend group had heard something about Jake, so she sent an email to all members of our group but me. Apparently, Sarah was designated to discuss it with me. This bothered me because the information she had heard was very sensitive and potentially damaging.
This sounds like Stephen King's Carrie to me, but go on.
To send it out to multiple people without taking it to me directly felt like a big gossip fest and very unfair to both myself and Jake.
Correct.
I told Sarah that I was aware of the information and explained the extenuating circumstances surrounding it. I told her it had been extremely stressful for both of us lately trying to deal with it. Mm-hmm. She brought up the incidents from his past that I had called her about years previous and made it clear that she didn't think I should marry him. This also made me angry because she'd spent literally no time with the two of us as a couple and had spent no time with him. Sorry, is Jake the first marriage?
No, he's the new guy.
Okay, sorry.
That had cheated in the early days, but then he stopped.
Now he's good. This also made me angry because she'd spent literally no time with the two of us as a couple and had spent no time with him. I'd seen her twice in the previous 2 years. I told her he had always made me feel supported and loved. They, on the other hand, pretended to have my best interests at heart, but the manner they approached the situation told me that they didn't care about either my best interests or my future husband's best interests, and that I was fine with just him. I had hoped that despite our fight, she or any of my friends would still come to the wedding or reach out in any way to give me best wishes, especially knowing how hurt I was after the wedding. Mm-hmm. They did not. I didn't hear from them at all after that. I completely understand if they don't agree with my decision. There's a lot of information not being discussed here, by the way. Mm-hmm. To me, though, that's irrelevant to supporting my choices and my big days. I'm an adult. My husband has never been abusive. So even if they wouldn't make the choices I made, I was clearly happy and excited, and I think true friends would have been there regardless. They've all made choices I don't agree with, but it's their life, not mine, and I trust their ability to make their own choices, even if those don't always turn out well. 10 months into my marriage.
Oh my goodness.
And the marriage failed.
I have had an
amazing time during my almost 5-year relationship with Jake and have no regrets. Now I'm to the point of this letter. A part of me thinks I need to swallow my pride and call up my friends again, tell them they were right, and restart the friendship. The bigger part of me feels like whether they were right or not is irrelevant. They have proven that they were not the kind of friends that I could rely on to support me. The friendship feels very one-sided because I would be there no matter what. My friends have said they know that I'm someone who would drop everything and come if they needed me. Am I being petty or is it time to move on and find new friends? Sincerely hurt and confused. P.S. Okay. This is a half a page P.S. This is not extremely unnecessary.
With bullet points.
To the story, and it's just extra word count, but it is really on my mind right now, so I would like to vent.
That's all this is, so keep going.
This is all vent. Do with this portion what you will. A few years ago, A few years ago, the girls in my friend group got together for barbecue. I don't remember how this came up, but this P.S. is.
And I want to retract Canada and make it the South. I just wanted to say
that. Yeah, barbecue. I was waiting for the barbecue.
But also a university.
Right.
I don't remember how this came up, but can say for certainty that I was not the one to bring it up. My friend Sarah said, I wanted to take the ACT college admission test back in high school, but knew that if I beat her, She would have gotten really mad because of how competitive she is. I said, I hope you aren't trying to suggest that I'm the reason you didn't go to college. She replied, no, I didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to see what score I would get. To which another friend said, oh, Sarah, you could have just walked in without studying and beaten everyone. Anything I could have said at this point would have just sounded petty, so I said nothing. But this interchange felt extremely unfair for multiple reasons. Here come the bullet points.
Wow, numbered. TBT. Hashtag TBT.
The belief after the fact that she would have excelled at something she never tried smacks of that quote from Pride and Prejudice. I should have been a great pianist had I ever learned to play. I got an above average score good enough to contribute to me getting a scholarship. I was admittedly excited about it at the time. I studied hard, both for that test and in all my years of school, with me taking five AP classes my senior year. She never even went to class senior year and didn't end up graduating. To suggest that she would have beaten my score without studying wasn't just an insult to me. It was an insult to nearly everyone else that took that test. Number two, while I would have been bugged if she beat my score, given that she clearly put no effort into school, to suggest that I would have been so angry that she didn't dare do it is just not the case and is not really a fair portrayal of me. Three, as my friends, why would they try to take one of life's little victories from me? Four, I took the test because I needed it to go to college. If she was taking it just to see what score she got, doesn't that make her the competitive one, not me?
Five, this was 25 years ago.
Thanks again for your help. I just want to say this isn't ageist. This is a fact. A reminder, late 40s. This is, I mean, I almost feel like we have to be careful here.
I couldn't agree more, actually.
This is, I think,
this, well, this is fragility.
Very,
yeah.
Very yeah. Fragile person.
Yeah.
Number three. Just reread number three, Brian, because that's the whole answer to the whole question. The number three on the bullet point.
As my friends, why would they try to take one of life's little victories from me?
That's the beginning, the middle, and the end of the answer to everything that you have asked us, Cynthia. If these people were your friends, they would not treat you the way that they treat you. And you, for whatever reason, would not, I don't know why your homework is, why do you want whatever it is you want from them? You keep going back to this well, wanting something from these people, and they have never, ever given you a satisfying interaction. Going back, we can joke about you that you are still stuck in high school with all of the, you know, that this is the moment of injury. But the truth is that these people have given you 25 years of evidence that they do not value you and that they treat you as you deserve. Everyone deserves to not be the person they were in high school anymore. High school is 4 years of your life. And does it cause lifelong triggers and traumas and this and that? Sure. But it's also 4 years of your life. And people spend their whole lives trying to undo those feelings and patterns that are set at that time. And for some reason, you don't believe that you deserve to not feel that way anymore. You keep walking into this wall over and over again and wondering why your head is bruised. These people are unkind, ungenerous, and they delight in your failures and setbacks and struggles. Every person has failures, setbacks, struggles. So I don't want you to take that as we're judging whatever happened with your first marriage, whatever happened with this guy, blah, blah, blah. That's everybody's life. People are married, people are divorced, people have jobs, people lose jobs. That's every person on this planet, okay? So you're not uniquely living some sort of uniquely depressing existence. There are victories and there are losses. And hopefully you have the love of a kind, supportive person in your life in between, whether that is romantic or that is friendship or that is family, that you have a network and a support system of people that want to see you win. And that when you do win, are delighted for you. And that is all anyone should really want in this world. And for some reason, you are actively standing in the way of that happening for yourself. So that's the real question here is number three. If they were really my friends, would they be delighted that something bad happened to me? No, but they're not your friends. They don't invite you to things. And they want to pour pig's blood on you at the prom, from what I can tell.
They call you when there's bad news. That's when they call you.
They're excited about it.
Yeah.
Jason, please.
It's interesting. I have a dear friend who we used to say to each other, get out of your own way about some stuff. And she's also the same friend. I know this word is thrown around far too much right now, but I had a revelation on something with a call with a friend yesterday. And it's that term, obviously the term codependent, right? And there's that book, Codependent No More, which the same friend and I used to say to each other, have you read that book, Codependent No More? Let me get it for you, which was a comment on our own struggle and growth of codependency. And the thing that just yesterday I had a conversation with this friend about in regards to another friend, which is about codependency, it's about allowing yourself to be treated in a certain way, which doesn't, it's not only about needing, it's, I tend to think of codependency as in relationships.
You're dependent on somebody. Yeah.
But it's also about some level of not valuing yourself enough to just be the center of the story a little bit, which can lead to not seeing exactly as we're saying, which is that the people haven't been kind to you. And there's one set of things that were set up back in high school. And then there's something that now it's probably gotten a lot more subtler and subterranean, but it still is the same thing, which is neglect.
That's why it's very difficult to keep high school up.
Who are these people that say, if I had taken the ACT, I would have aced it? That's a conversation.
That's pathetic.
The person didn't even go to college. What do we do? I mean, literally, when you tell me that, I see people sitting off their back porch shooting cans. That's what I see when I hear that conversation. I mean, with a slingshot.
You don't want, crazy. In terms of the codependent thing, you definitely don't want your lifeline to be people that hurt you. You don't want to depend on those people, and you don't want those to be your forever friendships. I mean, you know.
And they don't come to either of your weddings. I still stand by the fact that you can't give people 2 weeks' notice, but thumbs up.
Yeah, that's a dig. That's horrible. And I will say this, actually. I do think that there's a lot, letter writer, that you're not telling us. I think that you have done probably some things that didn't make sense to a lot of people that seemed destructive rather than good. Mm. You're not totally copping to that here. I think that if your friendships were genuine, yes, they would be concerned. But I'll tell you this. If my best friend were marrying someone that I thought was trouble, and I even told them I thought they were trouble, I would go to the wedding.
Right.
I would never not go to my best friend's wedding, even if I didn't like who they were marrying. I would, if they asked, I would make my opinion clear on what I thought, but I wouldn't not go.
Well, you didn't get married with 2 weeks' notice to be spontaneous.
No, that's true.
You got married with 2 weeks' notice because you knew no one in your family was going to come.
But the first time she got married with more than 2 weeks' notice.
Yes, but I mean the second time. Everyone told you this guy was a bad choice and he had a bad pattern and everything else. And you told yourself that he was supportive of this or that, which to me is the codependency thing that Jason's talking about.
Yeah. But also nobody said anything.
You gave these people 2 weeks' notice so that they could intentionally not come, and you could offset the feeling of people saying to you, I'm not coming because I don't approve. Mm. Instead, they said, I'm not. You gave them an out. By giving it a 2 week notice, everybody had an out to not come.
And I would say, if they were your good friends, you cannot fault them for thinking it's odd. But if they were your good friends, they would tell you they think it's odd. And instead of not responding at all. And they would have gone to the wedding.
Exactly. They would at least endeavor to walk through that uncomfortable conversation.
Totally.
In some way to say, hey, listen, I can't come. Here's why. But, or create some kind of lie that you all would know.
But this is a 17 and a half year old level of discourse.
It is very childish, the whole thing.
Yeah. And the sisterhood thing and the, oh, and we laugh all night and we, I mean, to me, I see a high school party with a ping pong table in the basement, and I hate to say it, they're all playing ping pong and you're standing off to the side.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you're don't waste any more time with these people.
I and feel also, that like, we're being unkind, but I also feel that we need to, we need sound, to.
Someone giving you a thumbs up emoji that you're getting married.
You're
well,
an adult.
I will also say that. That's why I do think that some of this culpability lies with you. And I do think that probably if you're codependent to such an extent that people who have only ever treated you badly are still a pivotal part of your life, mm-hmm. I really think that probably, and I don't mean this as a dig, I think you need to have some talk therapy about that or something.
Yes.
I think this is a deep, deep issue. And I think
and
that probably
there are wonderful, kind, generous people out there who want to be your friend that you didn't go to high school with.
Well, and I will also say, I don't think Jake sounded so wonderful and kind, even from your description. And maybe you can say that he was. I don't know that he was, but you're clearly seeking relationships like that out, if that's true.
But yeah. Also, on the other hand, I do give it up for her if it's true. And obviously, we're only getting a little bit of it. But I do appreciate that someone can say this 13-year marriage, this 5.5-year relationship, flawed though it was, I don't regret it. Let's just take that at face
value. Because those are wins. Yeah, you're right.
They're wins that I appreciate and hope that that is actual and honest. Right. You know what I mean? I appreciate that for her in terms of in her bank. And she only deserves to feel love and support and joy. And that includes, listen, I don't know about you guys, but all of our parents, after deaths or divorces, have dated people that as the children were like, oh boy, we got to go through this guy.
We talked about that recently. Yeah.
Oof. And then you just like, okay, that was just it. Life is for the living and you just got to accept and forgive some of it. But in terms of this and friends that are just neglectful of you,
but you need a little, you need talk therapy for sure. You probably need cognitive behavioral therapy. And you need to get out of the minutiae. That's why I said the thing about the cognitive, because whatever this scorekeep, I mean, and they're doing the same, but we're talking about the ACTs. You've spent, I don't know what you do for a career, but you've spent 25 years doing it. So why aren't we talking about that instead of who hypothetically was going to win a beer pong tournament at seven. I mean, what are we talking about?
It's one thing to be nostalgic.
I could have been prom queen, but I didn't nominate myself. Yeah, you would have won, Ron, if you walked right in.
Can you imagine? I mean, that is an insane thing to say as an adult. It's even an insane thing to say for someone who's 20.
Yeah.
It's already
too old.
That's
why I thought the letter was written by somebody who was 22.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Well, we better move on to something else here.
I know. I just want to say, though, I do think I really do feel badly for you. And I hope you're able to walk away from this as simply and effectively as you can.
I feel badly that these people have been so hurtful and unkind to you and that you're stuck in this dynamic with them. But I do think whatever version you want to call this, tough love, et cetera, that we're giving you right now, it's time, dear.
Yeah, it really is.
We can't send letters like this in our late 40s and still wonder.
I think you need to take action outside, and I think you need to take action inside.
Yes. And good for you for trying to, you know, engage in another long-term relationship and wanting to be married and not giving up that kind of hope and connection. And I mean, that's all wonderful. But let's put a little time now into making better choices about who we share ourselves with, because I bet you're a wonderful friend. You obviously have a lot of love to give and care a lot about you being considerate and kind to other people. So let's just give that to people who deserve it. That's my opinion.
I think that was wonderful advice from all around everybody.
Dear Ron and Brian, they're not mentioning you, Jason.
What were you going to say?
They don't listen. It's okay. I also just want to say, I do think you would have at least made the homecoming court if you had walked in back in the day. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
You know, just separate. Okay.
Oh, don't worry about me. I would have voted for you. Don't you two spend 1 minute worrying about me. I win everything. I win everything I try to do.
That's true. Dear people
Ron
she went to high
Brian.
School with, I've seen it happen. When Ronna will walk by down on the street when Ronna's
walking.
That's
fun. Yeah.
And she'll say, I went to high school with her. And honestly, they look at Ronna as if they're so embarrassed because, like, they know they're not Ronna.
Yeah, and they all look 140 years old.
Too. They know they're not.
Wrong. I mean, they look half dead. Walkers. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
My husband and I were recently gifted a handmade craft by a relative we love very much. I would go into details about what the craft is, but this person may listen to your podcast, and I really don't want to offend them. Anyway, we accepted the gift because the thought and time put into it, but said decorative piece. Because of the thought and time put in, I suppose, is what they mean. But said decorative piece is not a style at all. The item in question is well-made and obviously took a lot of time, but it's not something we would display, and we don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
Our first thought was to donate it to Goodwill because someone would find it a good fit for their home. But since we are now seeing this person more regularly due to relaxed COVID restrictions, we're afraid they will ask where we decided to display their gift when we just want to give it away. This sounds so insane to even type out, yet here we are. Obviously, there are more pressing matters than this, but it's a problem that needs an answer. Best, don't use my name if you choose to read this.
Whoever wrote this in, their partner is not in on this. There was way too much we and our there. This is all you. I guarantee.
You're the main instigator.
I guarantee your
this.
Partner's like, just put it up. You know what I mean? But there's too much we and our. Like, we came to this decision. Okay, sure you did. What do you think, Jason?
I think you should. This is what I think. So I think you put it up for a little bit. You put it up for a little bit, maybe just when they're coming over for a little bit. You give it a season, and then you just slowly move it out, or depending on what it is made of, you say it got broken or whatever you did. This is different because somebody actually made it versus, and it not being your style, versus say, listen, my mom, we just got a huge belated Hanukkah box of tchotchkes galore. Yes, she's gotten better, but my mom used to like to give us a lot of stuff and it would drive Mickey insane. That was not our style. Everything from like anything that, whatever. And so we would just, it got to the point with these things that where she did not make, where we would just like immediately take them to re-gift them and give them. But this is different. This is from someone you're seeing regularly and they made it and it's a good friend. So I think you got to honor the friendship a little bit and let it be seen on display and then let it sort of find its way somewhere.
I'm going to be honest with you, Jason. I'm not going to name any names here.
Uh-oh.
But there was someone here in this conversation who I would gift gorgeous, specific produce to.
Some friends have very specific tastes.
I would give this person.
It's so true. That's so true, Jason.
I would give this person the biggest, crispiest tomatoes you could ever imagine.
Oh.
And not only were they unappreciated, they were sometimes returned. I was never paid back for them, even though it was like a gift loan.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
I picked these up for you. I didn't ask for them. I thought you'd love them.
Right.
I don't.
Exactly. Right. And then one time I did give Rana a $500 box of Origin beauty products, and she didn't use them. So I
only wanted the gumballs.
That's.
Why? Who? What? Why did they think gumball? What is it about gumballs and facial care that works? I don't get it.
They got her a the movie, gumballs.
I got her a framed movie poster of Sex in the City 2. She didn't put it in her house.
These are all things that I'm...
SATC 2.
SATC.
I have to say, I did get chills watching the Just Like That trailer.
Me too. I just can't wait. You kidding?
Elisa Saritsky, here we come. So... I don't understand what the question is. Does this person live in your house? No. They come over, assuming they let you know when they're coming over, I'm going to assume, during COVID.
Yeah.
Unless this is a goddamn totem pole, you know, 8 feet tall, carved out of a tree trunk that needs to sit
that
in your living
room. That has to be installed.
There's nowhere else you could put it.
It's not.
Put it in the garage, put it in the closet, put it wherever it goes, put the thing that goes where the thing goes when the thing's not there. And when the person comes over, put the thing up in the living room or wherever it fits and tell them how gorgeous it is every time they come over.
That's the right thing to do here. This
what
is
do you
I'm
care?
I'm guessing this is not a Damien Hirst installation piece. I'm guessing
this
is not
a bisected cow in formaldehyde, is it? If it is, lucky you, you can go, in which case I'd go sell it for $45 million tomorrow.
Exactly. It's an aspirational Chihuly glass
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Who are you worried about thinking that this is you? Don't make it your Zoom background. Pardon me.
Put it out when people think
this is your taste.
Yeah.
Put it out when they come over. Make them happy. Say thank you. But I don't think it's right to give something handmade to Goodwill. I don't either.
Someone gave to you as a gift. I don't either. And also, you'll probably only have to put it out like two or three times and then never again. Just because they'll be like, oh, your taste changed, style changed, they ended up putting something. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
But
let
you got to
bask and feel good about it for 2 minutes when they come
out. Your home is a museum, and this is but one of the visiting exhibits.
Totally.
Mickey and I were recently in Florida visiting his mother, and there were all these.
Yeah, you're telling a lot of Mickey secrets today on the podcast.
It's true. I'm going to get in trouble for it.
I'm waiting for the tell.
And you know, Mickey's our friend first. I understand that.
So believe me,
Mickey wants an edit. Mickey's getting an edit.
We went, and so that
and
whole.
And I watched Mickey's performance, by the way.
Everybody,
Angel City Chorale. I watched it on YouTube the other day.
You guys,
he was so terrific.
It was the most moving thing ever.
Mickey joined a choir for fun.
Enjoy in the summer, and they've been rehearsing in COVID, in masks, testing all this stuff.
That's so sweet.
The concert was this past weekend at Royce Hall at UCLA.
Oh, wow.
And they did half capacity because of COVID. And Friday night was the first time in tech where they took off their masks and saw what their faces looked like, let alone what they sound. So anyway, just
isn't it amazing? I have to say, it's amazing when you see people with. It's just like the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
It's totally shocking.
It's amazing
with the eyes and the crazy teeth.
It's so people
because
that
when
he thought
people
were,
take off their masks, people you thought full, were gorgeous.
Yeah,
I am surprised more than
and
I'm
people
not.
And people that you thought were only okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And vice versa. People that you thought were 20 were 60. People you thought were 60 were 20.
Yeah.
But if you go to Angel City Chorale on YouTube and just go to 3838 and they sing a Hanukkah song, I promise you it'll be worth it.
There's Bohemian Hanukkah.
I just could not stop laughing in that.
All right. Anyway. So listen, what were you going to say about Mickey's mother's house now that we're talking?
No. So I met a lot of her lady friends and I was fascinated by them. I didn't know until Mickey.
This is my favorite thing I ever heard in my life. They went there for Thanksgiving, Brian.
Yeah.
One of the women, because Mickey's mother's gay son and his gay husband were coming over.
They're coming to town. They're coming over.
One of them went and bought a turkey and dropped it off at 9 o'clock in the morning and said, do something with this.
That's basically true, except...
And they made a gorgeous turkey. I don't doubt it.
Being
a couple of gay guys, they made a gorgeous turkey.
It wasn't perfect.
But this woman dropped the turkey off at 9 a.m. and said, cook it. They didn't even warn them that they were going to have to make a turkey.
There was a whole phone chain gang of the ladies of their development. That was a miscommunication. And the turkey was dry because her son is a chef, gave her the turkey. She said the turkey was 15 pounds. We cooked a 15-pound turkey.
But it was like 12.
It was a dry turkey. It was so. And then because all of Mickey's mom's spices are like 5 years old, Mickey like doubled the pepper because another one didn't work. And so we had a very peppery turkey. Anyway, it was very funny. And so these women were really fascinating to me. Their stories were incredible. One who went to the same high school with Barbra Streisand and Lainey Kazan, and they all know her. This woman was such a character. You would love her so much. But we were at this one couple's house that I thought were so interesting that they had lived in their same street back in Long Island and then whatever. And so they have a grandfather. So their father and their daughter's grandfather who has a bunch of paintings that are really beautiful. And they wanted to give one of these, they're really beautiful paintings to their daughter who she has a much more minimalist taste.
Sure.
And she wouldn't have any of the grandfather's paintings in her house because it doesn't match her style. I know this isn't the same thing, but I thought it was really interesting because I thought they're beautiful paintings. Even if they're not your style, I thought it was interesting
that she didn't want a piece of her grandfather in a house.
Nothing. Like they were truly incredible paintings and she didn't want a single one of them. I thought
how
that
old
was kind
this
of
brat.
Well, here's the other thing that I'm going
to say. Well,
she didn't write into us.
She did what she wanted.
The only other thing I can say is that they're really generous, interesting parents themselves, and they're now in their 70s, and Basically, their daughter married a guy whose family and his political beliefs are not theirs, and they've navigated that storm in being Florida.
I can't believe the tea you're spilling on these people in this retirement community.
And so they,
your husband is going to dunk you in the turkey pot as soon as this is finished.
It was fascinating to me. It was fascinating. Like,
you want to know what a dry turkey is? You're
it's going
to be dry
as
turkey.
As soon as I get off,
it's
going to
be you the next
in the other room.
Brian.
Rana.
I noticed your hair is looking thick and luxurious.
Listen, it's not the only thing that it is, Rana, and I appreciate that very much. My hair is become mane. And by that, I mean it's thicker, fuller, healthier. 80 million men and women in the U.S. experience thinning hair, yet it's still not openly talked about, which is a shame. We should talk about it. We're going to right now.
Normalize thinning hair.
Correct, because it can be very stressful. It can be even scary.
True.
And the sort of stigma of it, and they're not talking about it, just adds to the problem.
Yeah.
I use Nutrafol. You want to know why, Rana?
Because it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's proven to work, and it's formulated with potent botanicals to help your hair grow as strong as you want. And it's physician formulated to be 100% drug free.
And does it work? Yes, Padme.
Yes, it's natural. It uses botanicals. It deals with whole body health even. And on top of thicker, stronger hair without lasers and without chemicals, Nutrafol's ingredients may also help you get a handle on better sleep, stress response, skin, nails. A little thing I like to call libido.
What?
Libido.
Oh.
Visit Nutrafol.com and take their hair wellness quiz for customized product recommendations that put the power to grow thicker, stronger hair back in your hands. When you subscribe, you'll receive monthly deliveries so you never have to miss a dose. Shipping's free. You can pause or cancel anytime. Does it work? Yeah, it does. In clinical studies, Nutrafol saw thicker, stronger hair growth with less shedding in 3 to 6 months.
And you've seen it yourself, haven't you?
Of course I have. Yeah. Whether you're experiencing thinning or not, you deserve hair as strong as you are. Nutrafol can help you achieve your hair growth naturally. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code Brian.
With a Y.
Thank you. To say $15 off your first month's subscription.
Wow.
This is the best offer available anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, Rana, free shipping on every order.
Wow.
So get $15 off. I use Nutrafol. That's why this is good. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, for hair as strong as you are.
Fabulous. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Ronner.
Have you ever needed a doctor ASAP?
Yeah. Yeah.
This minute.
This minute.
You wake up, you feel a certain way, something appears on your body that was not there the night before, whatever it is.
Sure.
And you know you've got to get in with someone right now.
Stat.
As the doctors say.
As the doctors say, yeah, stat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the problem is you want to go to someone fantastic.
Of course.
You want to go to someone with a 5-star rating.
Yeah. You don't want to have to look twice.
I've got a solution for you.
I'm ready, Rana.
ZocDoc.
I love this.
ZocDoc is a fabulous app. Okay.
Yeah.
That helps you search for doctors in your area. You download the free ZocDoc app, free of course.
Sure.
You can search for local doctors that take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment or an in-person or video chat. Okay?
Nice.
You never wait on hold with a receptionist again.
Love this.
Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, a dermatologist, a psychiatrist, which everyone who listens to this podcast needs, an eye doctor, or an other specialist, ZocDoc has you covered.
Yeah.
So just go to ZocDoc.com/AskRana and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free, pardon me.
Yeah.
Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc.
And I'm one of them, Rana. It's my go-to whenever I need to see a doctor and I don't feel like waiting a week. I just go on the app and I'm able to get one fast that takes my insurance, as the Texans say.
Insurance, exactly. That's exactly. What I mean, ZocDoc makes healthcare easy.
Very easy.
And with the pandemic, I have to say, people who wants to, so many people are doing the video doctor appointments now in ways that they weren't before.
Totally. I had to get a urinalysis the other day because something felt wrong. Turns out everything was fine. I was just drinking more caffeine than usual.
How can they determine that? I'm just curious. How do they know that's what the problem is?
They don't. They just knew that there wasn't a problem. Yeah. And so they asked me, and that was sort of the thing where I was like, well, I have been like upping my caffeine intake. They were like, might be that.
How is it possible for you to up your caffeine intake is the question. Unless you had lowered it.
I had lowered it and then I ramped it back up. And by the way, the ramp is, there's no end in sight to how high this thing
goes.
Well,
that's a conversation for another time. I'm not sure you should be ramping.
Well, all I can say is the other day I was ramped up so high, I was flying through the air and all I heard was a fee-fi-fo-fum. So that's how high I'm getting on this caffeine run.
Now is the time to prioritize your health. Go to ZocDoc.com/AskRana and download the ZocDoc app to sign up today for free and book a top-rated doctor. That's ZocDoc.com/AskRana.
ZocDoc. Rana, I had a question for you. I forget, Bob was a proctologist or a podiatrist? Yeah. I never remember
which
one.
You know what he was? He was a none of your businessologist. That's what he was.
Okay. All right. It's too bad he's not on ZocDoc, but, you know, no one can help
He passed away, Brian.
He's dead. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But if he was, if Bob was still with us, you can be sure he'd be on ZocDoc.
That's right, Rana.
Brian, read our last question. If you can believe it, we still have to do a third question after all this.
Dear Rana, Brian, and fabulous guest, aka Jason, I've been dating my boyfriend for 3 years. Currently, I'm 30 and he's 25. And this is a woman writing in.
Okay.
About a year into our relationship, I moved out of state, a plan I'd had in place before meeting
him. I'm 30, he's 25.
Mm-hmm. 22 and 27.
How I glossed over that. So you're 30 and he's 16.
Yeah.
Is what we're really
doing. A 30-year-old woman and a 12-year-old boy. Keep going.
About a year into our relationship, I moved out of state, a plan I'd had in place before meeting him, and we continued dating long distance. When the pandemic hit, he decided to move to my new city, which has been amazing. All this to say, we've been through a lot together and have stayed committed through the highs and lows. He's a wonderful partner, and we have a very special connection. Here's the issue. My boyfriend smokes weed all day, every day.
Mm.
By itself, it isn't that big of a problem. But I see how it's affecting many aspects of his life. Yeah, I guess by itself, first of all, it is a problem.
What does that mean by itself? It isn't really a problem.
I guess she likes the smell of weed or she doesn't mind when she looks over and
sees the house on fire.
The logistics of it, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
But I see how it's affecting many aspects of his life. He struggles financially and has to make room in his budget to keep up his habit.
Mm.
He wants to eat healthier and yet snacks on munchy foods constantly. Mm. He expresses anxiety about his future, but doesn't take action to change the way things are going. For example, he's been talking about seeing a therapist for months to work on his mental health and general well-being, but hasn't tried to make an appointment.
Because
he's stoned all the time.
Okay.
It's very rare that you see someone who smokes weed every day for recreationally being the most motivated person you've ever met. Plus, whenever we travel, he's cranky and distant toward me until he can get stoned.
What?
Hmm. I see his cannabis use as a common denominator, which prevents him from making personal growth in many different areas of his life. He's been a 24/7 smoker for 6 years. It's a big part of his identity.
Oof.
And I worry about consequences on his health if this continues much longer. I don't know that you really have to worry about that, but I'm worried that if I express these concerns, he will either get defensive or try to hide his habit from me. Is there a way I can bring it up lovingly and non-judgmentally? Do I write out the next few years to see if his habits change as he matures? I don't want to be overbearing and have never commented on his smoking. You've never commented on it? Wow. But when I think about him having him as a long-term partner, I wonder if his use will become more of a wedge between us. Thank you so much for reading this through. He is stunting your growth.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it.
Wow. Well put, Brian.
I love you both so much and value your input immensely. Feel free to assign me a pseudonym, XX. Kiss, kiss.
You're getting very good at this, Brian.
Me?
Yeah.
Getting you know
very
why?
Very good at this.
Well, I'll tell you why.
It's taken 2 years, but you're getting very good at it.
I'm finally getting it.
You have to do something 1,000 times. What's the thing?
Right, exactly. I get my 10,000 hours. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to get, you're going to get your MSW by the end of this. You have 10,000 hours of field work.
I just think, what are you doing in this relationship? This guy, I will
He's a wonderful partner, and we have a special connection.
He's a wonderful partner. He doesn't do anything except get stoned. How is that a wonderful partner?
And get mad at me.
When he's not?
11 and a half years old at the airport until he gets a candy bar.
This is not good.
He gets mad at me when we travel because he has to get stoned and we have to talk to my parents for 4 minutes or whatever it is.
This is awful.
Wah.
And by the way,
this is a depressed person.
For sure, a depressed person who's way in his own way.
100% a smoke screen. It is exactly what it is. It is a smoke screen for his depression and anxiety. And there is nothing, look, not everybody's Seth Rogen, okay? Not everybody can smoke weed and write movies and produce movies.
Sure.
And suddenly be at the Adele concert in 1A
front
and 1B.
Row and not even know that it's being filmed. We're not all that.
That's my favorite, that they just thought Adele invited them to come sing to them.
That's a great thought to have,
though. They were shocked when it turned out to be an event of some kind. This guy's depressed. He's not a wonderful partner. He's actually a terrible partner. He doesn't have a job. He's not motivated. He sits on your couch and smokes weed all day, and you resent the hell out of him for it. And you, for some reason, want to wait 3 years to see when life begins, so life could begin, because he may figure it out. What are we doing?
You got to love yourself. There's a whole bigger life with or without him that is yet to be had and can be had. So she has to focus on herself. Like,
this guy is slowing you down.
Let's just go to the other side of this for a second. He may be a lovely, caring, funny, all of these things person, considerate. He may be all of these things, and he may just have a very deep depression, anxiety, and addiction issue. And I love when people act like people can't be addicted to smoke. It's just pot. You can't be addicted to it. Okay, get out of here. If you think that way, you're in the carriage house, please. We're on the free feed right now.
You don't very often, though. I mean, I agree with you, Rana, but you don't very often hear about people going to rehab for it.
No, but they should.
Yeah.
No, and it also
they go to rehab for everything else. What is this idea that marijuana people can just stop?
Right.
What they usually do if they get their act together is they start taking Lexapro or something instead of smoking marijuana all day. But it absolutely saps people of any motivation. And the reason he hasn't called a therapist is because he's stoned, not because he doesn't need one.
It'd be one thing if he were like, because I know now you can dose CBD to where. Which isn't THC even, but to where like you do feel relaxed, but you don't feel high at all.
There are people for whom there are therapeutic benefits. There's no question. This guy is it's a totally imbalanced situation. Yeah. And he's got other underlying conditions going on. And I just want to say, again, he may be a wonderful catch of a human being who is stuck in this moment in his life. But you are saying you've never addressed it with him because you fear being called a nag. Basically.
How is this relationship
good? That's
because
he's 25.
Yeah.
Because he probably will think you're a nag because he's 25. But if he was a mature person, he would say, this person who loves me is concerned about me, and this is why they are confronting me about this, that, and the other. Instead, he's probably going to say something like, okay, mom.
Don't make your 30s be your 20s again. You've got your 30 years old. Be 30.
Ding,
be
ding, 30. Ding.
Don't deal with this.
But if he really does have a lot of wonderful qualities and he just has this impediment, it's absolutely worth the conversation to say very honestly and very kindly and very lovingly, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I love spending time with you. I love you so much. I've never loved anybody like this before, but it is painful for me to watch you self-medicate all day, every day, when I can see your potential and I can see the potential of what we could be. And if that sounds selfish, it's because it is. I selfishly believe we could be, there's this other version of what we could be as a couple. And if that is not something that is a priority for you or interesting to you, I need to know that now. And if you want me to help you find help, et cetera, but this isn't a way to live.
I think it's like ultimatum that's, time.
I think that's so like great.
Things have got to change or I am out.
It's, we have a really great friend.
Is it Mickey's parents?
No. We have this really great friend.
Mickey's sister.
No, he doesn't.
I know he doesn't have a sister.
He's back from a run. Shh. Yeah. So we have a great friend.
Me shush.
We have a great, yeah. Hits in my headphones, by the way. Me shush. We have a great friend who her story is so moving to me. Because listen, we have a lot of single friends and we have a lot of single female friends.
Yeah.
And she dated this guy for a long time. And he was a younger guy, beautiful. And she said like, hey, she said, what are we doing? I want to know what we're doing after a certain amount of time. And I know you're reticent to get married. And it wasn't about like, I've got to get married. It was just like, what are we doing? And so she gave him 6 months. She said, I'm going to give you 6 months to figure it out. But then at 6 months, I need to know. And so she lives her life. She went traveling by herself. She's like a smart, strong woman.
Right. Laura Linney. Yeah.
And young, a little bit younger and vulnerable, but also like strong. So at the end of that 6 months, he didn't approach the conversation. He continued to live his life in a certain way that is similar, just like not moving forward, not going left, not going right. And so he's dead, everybody. Sondheim is dead. And so,
it's so sad.
So,
my God, I thought you were talking about this guy solved a problem.
So at the end, and he didn't bring it up, so she had to bring it up. And I have found that in these situations and in many relationships, there's one person whose head is deep in the sand, which then that person has to be the person to keep pulling it up. Anyway, she finally brought it up, and he said, yeah, I still don't know. And so she somehow found the strength and the conviction to say, okay, well, I'm really sad this relationship is over, but she left it.
Oh,
that's good. She left it. She left it. And she started dating. And the thing that's, it's a beacon of aspiration for me in terms of genuinely setting a boundary and doing something, not with malice, not with craziness, but with like,
I told
you, respect.
I'm going to fulfill that.
And here I go. And cut to.
I made a promise to myself and I love myself more than I love you.
Yeah. And she, also, just for what it's worth, because if you believe this thing that energetically you put something out forward and the universe will come back to you in that effort, cut to less than 5 years later.
Married to Jeff Bezos.
She's not married. She's not married, but she has a great guy and three children.
That's too many.
The true mark of success.
Two of them were born in the pandemic because they were like, let's just do this right away. But anyway, I think it's such a great, I have so many friends with various situations where somebody doesn't want to get married or the relationship isn't growing and there can be addiction or there can just be stagnancy there. But I'm so excited by that.
That's a soft way to do it too, actually, is to be like, hey, look, I'm not saying overnight, but I am saying the clock is ticking and it expires here.
Yeah.
And we've said this a million times, if they're not pulling you up, they're pulling you down.
That's right.
Okay.
And also, I'll never get over the fact that the person in that group went to high school with Barbra Streisand and Lainey Kazan. Because Lainey understudied for Barbara in Funny Girl on Broadway.
Oh, I know. Who do you think you're talking to? You know. But this woman, by the way, this woman who's she's a relative of Mickey's.
Couple of brandy soaked fruits.
Honey, Rana, come on into the salad, babe.
Everybody.
Come on into the stolen, the water's a wall.
I really want you to have her on the podcast because you'll have the best time with her because it's such a great way to be living your life. I don't know how old she is, but everybody knows her. And when they tried to have a reunion, everyone's like, oh, I forget her name now.
I bet if she had taken the ACT, she would have done better than Mickey's mother, but we'll never know.
None of them took the ACT.
Better than Barbara Streisand and Lainey Kazan.
That's right.
All right, dear, this is the time in our program.
Yeah, the program.
Where we decide who's getting what.
So we, every Free Feed episode, we sort of craft, why am I always trying to say this a different way?
We want
to give something lovely to someone who we think deserves it, one of the listeners who we think deserves it. So to recap, we have the receiver of the ugly craft. Mm. We have... the mean high school friends, and we have the stoner boyfriend. And of course, when I say stoner boyfriend, I mean the lady in this relationship. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The person who wrote in.
We're going to give something off of our Ronica list for the month of December. That's what we've been doing.
So do you want to give it to the stoner boyfriend lady? Do you want to give it to mean high school friends? Or do you want to give it to receiver
of
the bad craft?
It's not about who deserves it. It's about who you have a feeling for.
A feeling for. I also just want to let you know that our coffee is being delivered today. We're getting two Ronica coffees are coming to our house today.
I thought you'd never mention it. What are we doing here? We're just doing a free show.
I have my phone right here tracking.
Buy the goddamn coffee, everybody.
I have three out for delivery.
I ice it. I'm partial to the vanilla, and I'm a little embarrassed about it.
You're having your ice cream vanilla right
now?
What
are
you embarrassed about?
It's
delicious.
Because it's so good, but I still have this old notion of like flavored coffee.
Flavored coffee is a cop out.
No.
This isn't flavored. It's infused.
I know it's not. I'm just saying I have to walk through my own
prejudice. Where did we get this guy? And then I've got to deal with Mickey after this. All you're doing is creating work for me.
That's right.
It's true. Okay. So I think this is what I think. This is how my brain works. I feel like the person with the craft is going to be fine.
I'm
with you.
It's very clear to me who's getting something. Yeah.
I feel like the mean friends, mean girls, she deserves and she would benefit from some love of any kind. That's
yeah.
What
I agree.
I also completely agree. I'm trying to look at my Ronica list, Brian, because I'm trying to remember what it is we could give them.
Something
that would give them a little boost of it's not the red wine stain remover, is it?
Oh. What is the red wine stain remover?
She might be drinking
remover.
Red wine after she hears what we said.
I am just having a quick look. Well, there's Brian's terrific cocktail shaker, but I am trying to think about I didn't think that sounded rather nice.
I was so afraid you're gonna be like, it's Brian's Christmas CD from back.
I have a question.
I know what if yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead, dear.
I was gonna say, no, please, I want to hear
after you. It's not the Pendleton blanket. What were you gonna say, dear?
Austin the Zingerman Stolen, even though that wasn't on
our list. That's a great idea. We talk so much about the Stolen.
But what were you going to say?
Let's do the Stolen. I love that idea. Send one to me while you're at it.
I will.
The Stolen, what I was going to do was but I like the Stolen. I was going to do your eye mask kit.
Oh, sure.
The Slip Marble and Charcoal Beauty Sleep.
That's a great idea too,
Beauty
actually.
Sleep collection.
Which do you like better?
We talked about the Stolen. If the Stolen is in stock, Tony, send it the Stolen.
Okay.
If it's not in stock, send it the beauty mask and the this and the that, because here's the truth. You need to take a breath, sweetheart. You need to spray a little mist on your pillow. You need to put something gorgeous on your eye and under your head and put yourself to sleep in a beautiful, luxurious manner. And you need to start treating yourself that way in all interactions in your life, which is, I deserve nice things.
I think we should send her the slip. I do think we should send her the slip.
Well, we'll send me the Stolen. We'll send her the thing. I deserve nice things. I deserve to be treated with softness and kindness and love, but it starts here. And if you want to stand by the side of the punch bowl table for the rest of your life and wait to get dunked, that's up to you. But that's not what we're recommending here.
You deserve dunked. To feel good when you leave. I don't know about you all, but
dunk Brian's head in a punch bowl.
I do love the word dunk, and I like how I knew Rana says it really well too.
Dunk.
What were you going to say, Jason?
I think in this last, we were already doing it before, but in the last year, we've been looking at our friends, and I was like, who do you leave when you leave hanging out with somebody? Who do you feel good about? Who do you feel like something has happened?
See, I like the opposite conversation, but go ahead.
Which is what? Who do you feel bad about?
That's more fun. But go ahead.
Who are the ones that? Yeah, and listen, I've been.
Who's Fox Joy?
Yeah. Who's Fox Joy? Take that.
Who
Marie.
Do you go home and think? What a fun night.
Yeah.
Or I had a laugh. I had a this, I had a that.
Yeah. I had a connection. I had a conversation that mattered. Not just this fodder about ACT scores from 1995 or whatever. Yeah.
It's not something to do. Stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You deserve more. You genuinely deserve more. Yeah. And listen, I've been that Eeyore too.
Stay home and watch Brian's movie. Yeah. What's your movie, Brian?
The Power of the Dog.
Yeah.
Oh, you loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah, he loved it. Oh,
Jason's abstaining.
No, I want to see it. I was thinking in my head, my dad, who's 80 years old and now Palm Springs by himself, he sees these movies and I just get texts that are apropos of nothing, like whatever. Power of the Dog, great movie. Ending? Question mark. Like I get these things. I'm like, I wonder what. But I can't wait to. I can't wait.
Well,
to.
Brian, that's a good review.
It's in Brian's at least his top 50 of all time, if not his.
Say that's a good spot for it.
Yeah, top 50.
Yeah.
When you think about a lifetime of movies,
I know. Yeah. Because
Jurassic Park is 49. So
Jurassic Park's in there for sure. Big.
All right, da-da. Anything Penny Marshall directed is in there.
Anything, boys, riding in cars with boys is definitely in my top two.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, that's enough of this. I've had enough of all of this.
Me too. Splash is up there.
Wow. And the documentary of Company.
The documentary, Six by Sondheim, and also Honeyland. That's up there, yeah.
Oh, Honeyland is wonderful.
Fabulous.
Mm. Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the movies yet.
You've seen Honeyland, haven't you?
I meant this year. Sorry.
This year.
The only one I've seen is Power of the Dog.
We don't even know what we're doing for this year. We haven't even discussed if we're doing the Academy Awards this year.
Well,
Brian.
I think we should.
Are we doing our Oscar special?
I feel like we should.
We have to do a live Oscar special.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what will Kate Arthur, when will she talk about movies? She'll have no opportunity if we don't
do
it.
True.
She's coming on the free feed. I don't know when, but she's coming on the free feed as a guest. She wants to do advice. She doesn't want to talk about movies. She wants to do advice.
Great.
So there it is.
I love it.
All right, you two. All right, Brandywines. That's it. thank you both for being here. You're a couple of manuvals, and I had a wonderful time. And we want to say happy holidays to everyone, but they're not here just yet. But so please remember, what's wrong with a $20 bag of AskRonnaCoffee.com? Or you could get a subscription, pardon me, $3 off every subscription. Always free shipping in the domestic United States.
And for your boozy, classy friends.
So good. You've had the DeGrana, Jason. It's gorgeous.
It's right here. Also, I appreciate a bargain.
No, the Negrana bottle you've had.
The Negrana bottle. So I didn't hear you for a second because it got
gorgeous.
I would love it.
It's so good. It's so good. And so I would love that.
I was going to pull it right up.
I know, me too. I was like, wow.
No.
He's our guy.
Such a beautiful bottle. That little leather strap.
Gorgeous.
And that red and that gold. So beautiful on a holiday table. And then, of course, go to Negrana.com for that. We have our other gift boxes that we did with Connor. But also, Connor can get anything for you at Fiasco Brooklyn. He has impeccable taste at any price point and sends it. You want to talk about, the FedEx label, the thing. You know it's at your door before it knows it's at your door.
Hell yes.
So there we are. All right. Kiss, everyone. We love you. And we hope we'll see some new people in the Patreon carriage house. I'd love to get to 3,000 before the end of the year.
There we go.
Just saying. Very close. All right, dears.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much. This has been a joy. I'm going to go get in trouble.
Good.
You are.
That means you did it right.
You know
good
what?
Good trouble.
Good trouble.
Thank you.
Now, Brian.
Rana.
I want to remind people, next week is our 100th episode.
We haven't really been talking about it. It's our centennial.
So anyway, I'm very excited about it.
And we might have
an extra special fabulous guest for that. But in any event.
100 years of Ask Rana with Ryan 100 Bryan.
Years, a century of Ask Rana.
That's right.
Am I reading this cliffhanger or you?
No, I think. Oh, you are. Yeah,
did I read the last question?
No, I did. The stoner boyfriend. I think I did. Yeah.
Dear Rana Bryan and wonderful guest, I have a question that I think only you can answer. Actually, I think this could be Brian's specialty.
This is going to be good then.
Last year, I had a terrible, this is going to be messy is what this is.
This for sure.
I had a terrible breakup and had to find an apartment in a rush. I ended up signing a lease for a first floor apartment in a 2-apartment row house. My apartment is downstairs. My neighbor, we'll call her Grimelda, lives
upstairs. Yes, we will.
Grimelda's behavior started mildly enough. I already love this letter writer.
Me too.
She immediately requested that we trade phone numbers when I moved in and informed me that she goes to bed at 10 p.m. every night. I thought, fine. That evening, I was putting together my bed. It was before 10 p.m. And all of a sudden, I heard loud stomping and doors slamming from upstairs. I checked my phone. Grimelda had texted me to be quiet, to which I responded, I was almost finished, to which she responded that I should only put furniture together in the daytime. I thought, but I was very distracted by my breakup. I did not want to argue or set boundaries at that point. A couple of weeks later, I had a plumbing problem, but the only time the plumber could come, I was planning to be out of town. My landlord casually said, Grimelda can let the plumber in. No.
Wow.
She had a copy of my keys without my knowledge.
Outrageous.
I requested the keys back and she angrily returned them. During COVID winter, I sometimes had friends, never more than 3 at a time, outside in the shared backyard space around a fire pit. I always texted Grimelda to let her know when I planned to do so. She started to text me at 8 and 9, telling me to tell friends to leave because she could hear us. We are all in our 30s, fairly easygoing, not loud people. She reiterated that, quote, she goes to bed at 10 p.m. and wakes up at 6 a.m. every day on the weekends too, and there are no exceptions. One time I was exercising at 6 p.m. and Grimelda started to stomp above my head. She texted me, is everything okay? This entire row house is shaking.
Oh my God.
Multiple times I've been on conference calls and she stomped above my head while I was presenting. One time I was weeding our overgrown front patch of dirt and she came outside to yell at me for weeding. There were no plants, no garden, literally just dirt and overgrown weeds. I have a designated parking spot in the back. She put up a no parking sign at my parking spot.
Wow.
I told my landlord and he told me to just take down the sign and park there. Wow, that's exciting. One morning I woke up and there was wet, smelly trash all over my car. See photos attached. Don't judge me for my bumper stickers.
Oh my God. Oh, even, gross. Even I just saw the picture.
Even though my tactic with her has been to not engage at all, her erratic behavior has escalated. I think she may be related to my landlord since she has lived in the place for a long time, had my keys, and seems to have some sort of connection with him. She made a miserable year even worse, and for a while I tiptoed around my apartment, trying my best to avoid the stomp that set my heart a skitter. Now I just don't care anymore, and I want revenge. Something petty without consequences. I am moving out when my lease ends a couple of months from now, and all I have planned is to leave the no parking sign in her mailbox when I leave. What else should I do?
We can think of something better.
For the sake of anonymity, please call me Cynthia. Pics on next page.
What a animal Grimelda is.
The no parking sign is pretty good.
That's genius. That is genius.
In your space.
I got to say, so far I'm the most proud of Grimelda.
I didn't know this letter was from a woman. I'm going to say that too.
Oh, it is from a woman?
I thought it was another brandy-soaked fruit, but I guess not. All right, listen.
That better be our next t-shirt.
Join us on Patreon. I don't know
Please.
Why you wouldn't. We're going to get into this.
Patreon.com/AskRana.
Brandy soaked fruit is a cute t-shirt.
So cute. I'd wear that.
All right. We're going to see what we could do. Okay, good. I adore you, dear. Adore. I love everyone in the carriage house.
So do
and
I. They're
I can't
wonderful.
Wait to answer this on Patreon. We'll see you there.
Me too. See you there.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss, Rana.
Just announced, Brian and I will be joining the fabulous Wild Horses crew at Dynasty Typewriter live in person, pardon me. I mean, it has been years. On stage at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, May 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We can't wait. And don't worry if you're nowhere near Dynasty Typewriter. You can stream the show live at momenthouse.com. So all the info is at momenthouse.com for streaming and dynastytypewriter.com for tickets. We can't wait. The AI Social Club is now accepting members. Pardon me. Go to AISocialClub.com or AISocial.club if you're Brian, excuse me, and sign up now for our monthly cocktail box, which comes complete with a fabulous invitation to a cocktail kiki with none other than Connor McKee, our collaborator in all things fabulous, of Fiasco BK. Have we got something fabulous in store for you? Last orders by June 1st in order to receive the June box. We can't wait to share this fabulous, exclusive, pardon me, exquisite experience with all of you. Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.